Welcome to the Capes and Scowls podcast, minisode episode number 23. I'm Rashid.
I'm Leander.
And right now we're running with a theme. The theme is WWJD, which you're all familiar with, except for one thing. Oh. Episode number 23, you guessed it. What would Jordan do? This episode is all about greatness, achieving greatness. We have some of the greatest comics out right now.
It's true.
Leander, how you been, man?
I've been pretty well. I am, as I mentioned before in a previous podcast, that I might be moving, maybe, if I get this new job. Mm-hmm. And I got an email today that I at least got the interview. So,
foot in the door.
It's heading in that direction. So.
Moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
That would never happen if Tim and Lou were here, by the way.
Yeah. No, we got this, though. Like, it's like, you know what I felt like? It's like, well, if you haven't guessed yet, we don't have Tim. But it's like, I feel like once I found out we were, like, doing this without Tim,
yeah.
I thought that, like, Little Caesars commercial is like, no rules! And it's like, put your shirt back on, there's one rule! We're doing whatever we
whatever
want.
Whatever we want, it's us. It's just the two of us, people. No Lou, no Tim, no Ryan Young. No
rules.
No rules, that's it.
Whatever.
That's it.
You can get naked if you want while you listen to
Do
this.
It. Do it. We got some pretty good bass in our voice, so, you know.
Yeah, you probably
put that speaker where you want to put it.
Get ready for the quiet storm. Oh, man. Just a little update. I've been, like, at work for, like, legitimately 3 weeks straight. That's I don't even know if I ever left.
That's ridiculous.
It's nice to talk about comics again. It's nice to be around friends.
Yeah.
So let's just, let's jump right into this, then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to review first? You got something that I'm actually interested in hearing about.
Wait, which one?
That one right there.
The top one. All right. The Ultimates, number one. Written by Al Ewing. Holy fantastic crap. This is the most amazing book ever. Ever. There's no Marvel book that's better than The Ultimates. We can battle this out whenever you're ready.
I'm going to let you speak your case. I'm going to let you tell me why.
All right.
And then I'll shoot it down.
Okay. First, let me start with the top number
is this
one.
Is this the best Marvel book? Like you're saying ever. Is this the best all new, all different Marvel book? Or is this the best Marvel
book? I don't know yet. I don't know.
All right.
It's a contender. So, all right, let me start with the top part that's going to be enough to like win over everything. I think, and it's very likely, that Galactus is now on the team called the Ultimates, along with the regular cast. Galactus is a team member on a superhero team. That should blow everything out the water right there. The scope of trying to wrap your mind around the idea that Galactus is on a team should be enough to tell you how amazing this could look.
They went full G-tard.
They didn't even play around.
You never go full G-tard.
They
went full G-tard.
Imagine Galactus duking it out with like that's the bad guy.
When I saw this, I'm like, how can they loot? Like, what's going to happen now? Like, what's going to be the conflict?
That you need Galactus to help out.
Yeah, like.
But here's what I'm thinking. That's the same thinking, though, behind why there's a world Green Lantern. Why would you ever need a world Green Lantern?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who are you going to fight that's a world?
Yeah. It's like a just in case.
It's just like a just in case. And that might be all he is a just in case, like, backup. But let me go. So that should be enough. Everyone should be reading it just for that reason alone. But
now, do you feel like they're going to... Let me offer my speculation real quick. There has to be a character, whether existing already or that they're planning for this all new, all different Marvel, that has to make Galactus seem like not a speck on the radar, mm-hmm. but like pale in comparison. If they're going to add him to it, it's not even like a Galactus solo comic. It's like he's on a team with other very strong individuals.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really interested in this. Yeah. I'm going to let you go ahead.
So, all right. So let me give you first of all, that's like the top tier enough. But the team is freaking amazing. So, all right, we have Black Panther. Bam. That's done right there. You have Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel. You have the new Miss America, which she just seems amazing. I don't even know how to describe her correctly. And then, what are the other two people's names? Don't make me forget it right now. There we go. The Blue Marvel, which is Adam Brasher. And then one more person. It should just hit me 1 second. I should know her. And then Monica Rambeau, the Spectrum, is the code name, Spectrum. So there's a couple of really interesting things about this book. One, if you consider Galactus to be a white character, there are only two white characters on this team.
I don't even think he counts. I mean, he's like gray right there.
He's right there, he's gray, but he's always been portrayed as in between. You can never really tell.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of dark, but
we'll wait for the next census to come out.
Well, yeah. Send an email or check on Facebook. Send us a Facebook message if you think Galactus is white or something in between. But either way, this is a very racially diverse group of people, period, no matter how you look at it, which is pretty awesome.
All about that.
Yeah, I'm all about that, too. So it's good to see some mix there. Black Panther is a badass in this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what his character is like moving forward in the Ultimates. I don't know what he was like before, because I never read Black Panther. But in this one, like, the UN is, like, upset with him for a second, because they're like, oh, why are you helping out the Americans? Like, why don't you help out China, or help out whatever? And he's like, I'm just here because we're just trying to share information. He's like, they're like, so you're not, like, collaborating with the Americans? Is that the deal? He's like, first of all, I wouldn't do that. You should know better than that. Second of all, America would just slow us down. Wakanda's way better than America. Why would we ally with America? Why would we try to collaborate with them? They're too slow for us. Like, they can't even keep up with Wakanda. I'm like, yes, go Black Panther.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually interested in his run coming out next spring,
I believe. Yeah, let me tell you, I am very interested. He's automatically my bin. So there's a new writer.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Right? Yes, who is just amazing as a writer. So I think he's going to blow Black Panther like out the water.
And people have a problem with that, with him not really being a proven comic book writer, but like, I really think that this is, you know, it's social commentary. He's gonna be a good writer, and moving forward, like, with Black Panther, I think this character is finally being handled in a way that, like, it's gonna break down barriers in a bunch of ways. So I'm really excited for that. I'm also excited for Moon Knight, but that's another story.
That's another story. So there's two more things I just want to add on here. One, all the teams are doing separate missions right now, which I thought was really cool. But they're all helping each other. But it's so galactic. The Ultimates is completely galactic. Everyone's on a different planet doing different things. Some people on Earth chilling doing this. But they're all like, the way they talk, they're like, oh, like Black Panther is going to meet up with Spectrum and with Miss Marvel. They're out in, like, deep, deep space with Galactus, and Black Panther was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to meet up with him in a second. Like, how are you just going to jump from Earth to all the way where Galactus is right now? Like, it just seemed like they figured out galactic travel in such a way that they can just go wherever they want anytime.
It's the power of having Galactus.
It's the power of having Galactus. And the second thing is, I was wondering when it was going to happen. It finally happened. In Marvel Puzzle Quest, the game.
Okay. You have to enlighten me on this, because I don't know very much.
It's a puzzle game that Tim and I have played for a long time.
I know of it, but go on.
The idea is that in order for your character to get stronger, everyone's always looking for something called ISO 8, right?
Okay.
And we're like, it's just a random game mechanic, right, that you put into it. This book is all about ISO 8. ISO 8 is where it finally comes to fruition. ISO 8 is going to solve Galactus' problem.
Now, does it seem like, with this ISO 8, does it seem like it's just a useless tie-in, or does it feel like they really have something?
They really have something here. Okay. It's big. It's a big deal.
Like that.
And it only happened because there was a reboot. It allowed for ISO 8 to even happen.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be like the next, like, it's a galactic, it's a universe-starting element, basically, that could not have been achieved unless there was an eighth iteration of the universe, which is what this reboot caused, and now ISO 8 is possible.
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, now I feel like that does arise something, like, I feel like something might go wrong with this. Galactus could... Okay, yeah. I'm reading that.
Yeah.
I have it. I already bought it. I just haven't gotten to it. It's in the bin.
Everyone should check it out. Great, great team, great everything.
All right.
Yeah,
sorry, sir. Alright, so I guess I'll continue in the vein of Marvel. Right here I have Doctor Strange, issue number 2. We talked about Doctor Strange on a previous podcast. I like the feel of it. It's a little bit of a, like, hipster Doctor Strange, but this one, they really elaborate on the Sanctum Sanctorum, and it picks up with Zelma, actually, like, at the end of the last issue. She was like, I have this kind of headache. And she takes off her hat, and she has parasites, like these, like, crazy-looking, like, eye parasites, like, popping out of her head.
Jeez.
And they just go wild across the Sanctum Sanctorum. And Strange is just like, all right, look, like, these things are dangerous, but there's just a lot of things you don't know about this place. Just don't touch anything. Stay away from every door. Stay away from every wall. Just
don't touch anything.
Just don't look at anything. Don't touch anything. And definitely stay away from the fridge. Like, I've acquired some strange tastes in my time. You don't need to be anywhere
near. So is she the bad guy? Like, did she bring this in? Or did she not know that she had eyes in her head?
She didn't know.
In her hair. Like, dandruff.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what it is. You know, Strange can see this like, third realm, this kind of metaphysical realm, where all these emotional demons and parasites rest. And he actually has a funny moment in the first one where he has one attached to him. He's like, yo, get away from me. Like, get off me. And I really think, who do we have on this book right now? I always like to do that first. So we got Jason Aaron on the writing the book, and then we have your favorite Chris Pachalo.
I knew Chris Pachalo was doing the artist for this because I didn't like his art ever.
It took Leander like 2 seconds, like, is that the Pachalo guy? And I was like, yeah, I enjoy the art. I know it's an acquired taste. It's very it feels like a cutscene in a video game. Like, it feels like an old Zelda, like when they would give like the backstory.
I can see that.
Like, I like it. It's like very mystic. It's cool looking art. And I think for the realm of Doctor Strange, it's a very good art style. So yeah, they're going around the house, and she's just trying to figure out where, you know, these head parasites went. And all over the house, they're finding like these different kind of zombies and demons that came from the start of these parasites. Okay. And you're finally finding out that they can die. And she's going around the Sanctum Sanctorum, and she's like, this place is a mess. She's a librarian, so she sees that Porter. Strange. Yeah, she has his books just lined up, just piled on the table, and she's like, this is nonsense. Like, I can't get through this. So about halfway through the book, she gets to the kitchen around to where, and it's been a week since I read this, so forgive me. Sure. I'm kind of going at a faster pace.
Is she by herself the entire time, or is it Strange?
She splits off from Strange. Strange is actually trying to find out how to kill these parasites.
Okay.
And she splits off by herself, and she opens the door, and she just looks, and there's just zombies coming towards her. She's like, nope, all right, I'm going to listen to what he said. I'm not going to open anything. I'm not going to touch anything.
Right.
So she follows one of the parasites into the kitchen, where she runs into Wong. And Wong actually saves her life, hits the parasite with a frying pan, kind of says, like, you know, I'm Doctor Strange's assistant. You know, I help him with everything from outerworldly things to just cooking some of his favorite meals. And then you kind of get to see, like, he's cooking up something with tentacles crawling out of it. And he's just whipping it up, like, Fieri style.
Day.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a little bit of whatever. They actually end up killing the parasites, and the next thing that happens is actually, from the first issue, you see in another realm, another Sorcerer Supreme is like, you know, they're coming to get us. That kind of seems to be the overlying thing. There's another force going against the Sorcerer Supremes that is just trying to wipe them out. It's like a genocide against these guys, and he actually makes it cross realms to find Strange and kind of give him a warning. And right as that happens, he gets taken up by, like, the parasites and the other demons. They find him, they pull him back in. So Strange has no idea what's coming for him. I don't want to, like I said, I try to go over these books without giving too many away. I review books that I think you guys should read. This is definitely high on my list. I know people have, especially on this podcast, may have their feelings about all new, all different Marvel. But this is one of my top-tier books right now. From them, I would give this, like, a solid, like, this is an 8.5 for me.
Yeah.
8 to an 8.5. I really think they're trying to strengthen this character for the movie coming out.
Right.
And I think they're going in a good direction with this. He actually ties into, we talked about this a little bit earlier. He ties in Iron Man and him and Tony Stark. I really want them to get, like, a buddy, like, comic. That would be awesome. Like, little 4 issues between the two of them.
Yeah, sure. I would love that. That doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't.
Yeah, and they've always had that opposing, like, Tony never really liked it because he was like, it's just, magic is science that we haven't figured out yet or something like that.
Yeah. And I think that's something that, like, you know, for all new, all different Marvel, I'll keep my eye on. Because I don't know exactly where the relationship between the two of them are going. Or the relationship, or rather, I should say, the comparison of Peter Parker and Tony Stark. Because 3 issues deep in both of those books, that's something I see a lot of. And I'm really curious about where they're going with that.
Huh. All right. Yeah, and I think, before we, because we're going to jump into non-Marvel stuff next here, there seems to be a lot of tie-in with, like, I was talking to you earlier about the cartoons. I was watching the cartoons. And I've been watching Hulk, Shield, Agents of Smash, Ultimate Spider-Man, and then the most recent Avengers. And they all, like, go back and forth. Like, they all mix together all the time. And so, like, I thought that was a really cool, like, approach to doing the cartoons. Because you can have these different cartoons that all characters are allowed to go into other cartoons. And I thought that was really cool. So I think that's what this feels like, is that they're all starting to, like, cross more.
It feels like they're breaking the barriers, which is something is nice for the Marvel Universe, because it's something that, like, when you were a kid, you were always like, and even now as adults, like, when you think of comics, you're like, oh, who went in this, or wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah.
And the kids that had those dreams and thought about things like that are now the men that are writing these TV shows, and women, the men and women that are writing these TV shows and writing these comics, and you're just getting this kind of, like, fan fiction almost of Marvel, and I love it.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, right, what if Galactus joined a team, or like, what if, like, how could it, I think.
But this isn't even a what if book. That's what makes that so much more exciting, is like that you can plan to be reading this for the next, you know, year or so.
Yeah,
so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. All right, I'll go next.
Fan favorite.
The Misadventures of Grumpy Cat, number 2. So I had to get number 2 because I got number 1.
You got it.
And actually, Al from the comic book store at 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey, said he actually gave this to me for free. He's like, I'll give it to you for free if you review it on the podcast. I thought it was pretty cool. And
shout out to Al.
On top of that, Al said he would do, as he, like, I said, I'll get it for free. I want it more. Like, I'll get it for free if you agree to come on the podcast at some point.
What?
And he said yes. Yeah, so one day we will have, soon, we'll have Al from the comic book store at 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey, on the podcast.
He's a very insightful guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Al put me on Saga, so I'm forever in his debt. Yeah, I love that book.
Nice. So, Grumpy Cat, again, is really just a rehash of what I said before. It's still 3 mini adventures with Grumpy Cat, his the other cat he lives with, name is Pokey, and then the dog, which is called just the dog.
No love for dogs.
Not in this one.
The dog.
The dog. It was, once again, funny. It was cute. It was what I wanted it to be. It was worth reading because I like reading Sunday comics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, do you feel like the shtick is starting to wear off?
It's already starting to wear off. Okay. It needs to go to Sunday comics soon, or it needs to do... Either needs to go to Sunday Comics, or...
They need to kill off a character. They need to just change the direction dramatically.
Or, maybe, or they just need to have one issue of only one story and let it continue. Like, give one story more depth,
right,
and not do 3 mini-stories. Because
now, how many pages are these stories about? Like, about 6 pages? I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I would say about 6 or 7. Yeah, somewhere between 6 and 10. Yep. And so, it still is what you need. It's short. It's funny. I laughed at every single one. They chose to have different artists per adventure, which I thought was okay, too. But I think what they need to do at this point is either just transfer it to Sunday Comics. Although it would lose its colorful, the color to it, which I think is probably what it wants. It just needs to go to one story and be done with
right.
it. Not 3 different ones.
I think, too, like, I'm judging this 2 books in, but it seems like the universe is so small.
It is,
you know, you take a book like this, and you know, the closest thing I want to relate it to that I can just think of is, like, you know, because this is an everyday kind of life book mixed with Garfield. Like, you think of Archie, And the cast of Archie is like, there's so many characters.
Right.
And it just lets you, if you do want to tell more stories, like, that's probably why the shtick is wearing off, because you're getting three stories with the same three characters.
Same. And even then, I always know the dog is only in the middle one. He's never in the first or second one.
Right.
So I already know when the dog's going to come in. He's only going to come in during the second adventure, but not in the first and the last.
Exactly. Now, if you can get Pokey, and then let's say you get another cat in there that has a way different personality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
they just
that,
need to add variety.
That's
to the
what
book.
They need. They need variety already. Yep. The two cats and the dog is just not always inside the house. Well, sometimes the one time they went outside the house, but for the most part, it's inside the house. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. That's part to wear off. So they need to throw some new characters. Hopefully they'll do that in number three, and then maybe it'll stay for another 5-6 issues. And then, again, they're going to have to do something crazy to mix it up.
Kill off a cat.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Grumpy Cat, number two. Take a look at it, pick it up, read it, but I'm not as thrilled about it, so you don't have to pick it up.
I got something you definitely need to pick up. This book is called Beauty. It's by Image.
Mm.
And this is something that, once I heard the concept, I was like, I have to get on this. Jeremy Hahn on the art. And Jason Hurley is on the story. This is a great book. So just a little background, because I'm jumping into the third issue. The Beauty is actually a sexually transmitted disease that's been going around the town. It's a bit of an epidemic where if you get the Beauty, you start shedding fat cells. You start getting beautiful. It's exactly what it sounds like. And people it just doesn't make sense. You get an STD. No sort of burn or anything, no sort of, you know, bad effects. It's just, you get beauty, mm-hmm. you know, you just get beautiful. You start looking like Fabio or right. Beyonce or whatever. And there's actually these hate groups that start to form around the Beauty that are people that just, you know, have strong moral standards and are, because you can really tell at this point, because it's such a line of, like, for the Beauty, I have beauty, and against the Beauty... Against the Beauty. Let me just redo that.
Yeah, that's fine. My phone went off, people. That's what happened. Don't worry about it. We're just going to continue on as if that didn't even happen.
Right. So we have people that are for the Beauty. The people that are for the Beauty have the Beauty. The people that are against the Beauty are the ugly people in society. There's really no way to say against it. But they have a strong moral standard, so I definitely feel like they have their place in society.
Okay.
So what starts to happen is that people with the Beauty start dying.
Mm.
And not just in a normal way of just, like, people start spontaneously combusting.
Mm.
And the government's kind of trying to cover it up.
Right.
But at the same time, they're like, oh, this was, like, a small, like, terror attack or, like, this or that.
Okay.
So this comic actually picks up, you see a woman, and the thing that's hard to understand about this book is that people are natural beautiful.
Okay.
But there's actually a woman in this book. She's very beautiful. First page, it's her being caressed. She looks like a lady of the night. And then you find out that she is a lady of the night. And you see this shadowy figure come in and says, you know, I hear something's going around, you know, talking about, you know, oh, thanks for the night. This was the easiest money I made for a while. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I hear something's going around. And you expect that he kills her, because it kind of just moves to the next panel.
Mm.
And next panel, we join our heroes, or the main protagonists of the story, Detective Foster and Detective Vaughn, and they're actually pinned down and covered, and there's six guys in masks, automatic weapons, just gunning for them. In the last issue, Foster actually wanted to do a press conference about the Beauty, and his chief is telling him, like, look, you need to, like, just shut up. Say what we told you to say and relax. Because Foster, if you've been following the series, starts off just a normal guy, and then at the end of issue one, wakes up with the Beauty. And he's just like, shit. So, yeah, like, I mean, they know everything there is to know. Like,
yeah.
You know, the normal American public, like, they don't know that people are just blowing up. He knows, like, this is pretty much a death sentence.
Yeah.
And same thing with Vaughn, I believe. It seems like she's caught the Beauty as well.
Hmm.
So, last time the public saw him, he was just a normal-looking guy,
yeah.
And now he's just handsome. So, he starts to talk about, like, what he thinks the Beauty is and going off the actual schedule.
Yeah.
So, they hush him off, they run him real quick, and, you start to think that he made a mistake, because right now they're pinned down. These guys have AK-47s, and they're just gunning at them. Things seem pretty dark. They're in the parking garage. Nobody can really hear their calls for help. And all of a sudden, skirt! Van comes in, just starts lighting into these dudes. So
what?
Saviors. It's not a police force, which is the weird thing, because they're like, who's really going to come for backup? Nobody knows we're here. So you're introduced to Delonte, who's the character of this underground kind of like vigilante group that's fighting on the sake of the beauty, or it just seems like equal rights. Yeah. And he's like, I gotta take you guys to my boss. Like, you know, there's somebody I want you to meet. Mm. And meanwhile, you see
the boss.
They flip to the chief, and she's on a call with a senator. And this is where you really start to see that there's some corruption going on. It's like, you think these guys are a problem? Like, we were supposed to get him taken care of. And he's like, you know what? We're dealing with it. You can't, at this point, you can't just off these guys, because people are going to know something's up.
Right.
So, you know, he gets patched up by Delonte in the van. They kind of talk about who they are. Like, oh, we know who you are. We're detectives.
Yeah.
On the way to the boss, they blindfold him, because they're like, hey, we trust you, but we don't trust you yet.
Sure.
So they get brought to a theater where they run into Jake Lundy. And Jake Lundy has been affected by the beauty, and he's worked closely with the beauty for most of his life. He knew about the beauty, and he tells him, like, hey, look, I know I look familiar to you because I'm on the top of the FBI's most wanted list, but there's some things that we think your bosses are keeping from you. And he kind of talks about his involvement with the beauty and how his partner found a cure for the beauty. And, you know, they were like, no, this makes too much money. And it's a really good social commentary about, you know, the conspiracies about the things they found on AIDS, the things they found on cancer, if that is a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
How the public and big business will kind of push that aside if they feel they could make more money.
Right.
They say, hey, don't eradicate the disease exactly. Just prolong the way people can live with it. And this upset his partner, and he actually got dealt with, and he really wants to make these people pay. Mm-hmm. So he's like, hey, look, we have a cure. So they take him to their secret base, and they kind of start talking about the cure, figuring out how they can get this into society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people down there don't trust them, because this is still, they are still police officers.
Right.
So that's kind of where we leave off at. There's another thing that happens in the end. I'm not going to really go over that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is something that you absolutely must have in your pull bin. This series, I'm in the ratings mood now.
Sure.
I'm going to give this a 9.
Nice.
Like, I think this is something where the social commentary of it,
right,
the art of the book,
right,
the direction of it, even a disease that makes you beautiful. Like,
yeah,
I don't think I would have came up with this, or anybody else for
that's
that matter
would have
came up with
it.
And it really shows not only the commentary about the disease and how we deal with diseases in America, but how aesthetics can really play a part in your decision making, and how it can really blind how you decide things. And I think this comic, like, this is going to be a series that is very well heralded. So
that's awesome. You know, it seems like in general there's a little bit of a theme, except for Grumpy Cat, that people right now, they want creativity. Like, they want to see something that's never been seen before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they want to see, like, they're tired of the old stuff. They're tired of the, like, this guy. You know who's going to be part of the team. You know who's going to win what. You know who's going to do what. They want something that's never been seen before. You know, like, a disease that gives you beauty. Galactus on a team. Doctor Strange is, like, you don't really get a chance to, like, really explore his inner sanctum. So, like, really figuring him out, like, what the heck is going on here? This guy's crazy. Like, but what is he all about? And thinking about it in innovative way, like the fact that the girl in Doctor Strange, what's her name again? I forget her name sometimes.
The one that we just went over?
Yeah, Zelma? The one that has stuff in her hair.
Yeah, Zelma.
Zelma. Zelma, like, has a cure for mutants that doesn't have side effects. Like,
Oh,
it's a different girl.
That's from
Iron Man.
Yeah, Doctor. I forget her name right now. But
that's right. Okay. Well, either way, in Iron Man, you have that lady who had that little secret that was really cool. I don't know. I think the creativity, even the new, like, even the small, minute little creativity is really important now. So
yeah. I think I like the way the directions of comic books are going right now. I think especially like Saints, which I reviewed recently, mm-hmm, Beauty, right. Like I'm loving Image. Like Image,
yeah, Image
never really leads me wrong.
No.
And then I think Marvel's kind of like, we can't stick to the same script that we've been doing. We got to change it up. And that's what they're doing with All New, All Different Marvel. I'm a supporter of it, man. Mm-hmm. I really haven't. The only things that I've read that I haven't really enjoyed that much are the All New Avengers. I wasn't really feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to Uncanny Avengers yet. But
nah, I wasn't feeling that. Based on how I wasn't feeling it.
Most things, I mean, there's some things I haven't talked about, like Howard the Duck. I really enjoyed.
Okay, yeah.
I've on the show praised Iron Man and, mm-hmm, and Spider Man. I really love what they're going with that. Yeah. Really excited. I don't know if it came out yet, and I just missed it. But I'm going to check out, and I think it comes out Wednesday in Humans again.
Yeah.
I like where they're going.
Yeah, the X-Men haven't quite really got it. I mean, because Ryan, I think, did the most recent miniseries where he reviewed one of the X-Men titles, and it just wasn't really all that great. I haven't seen Jubilee come back, so I'm not quite sure how I feel about that right now.
Not yet.
So
call you when Jubilee.
Call me when Jubilee comes out. Then I might really come back to Marvel. Although the Ultimates is going to my bin, so we'll see what happens. Yeah.
So is there those are all the comics we had for the week.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to bring light to right now?
Anything you want to bring light to right now? No, I mean, just as a general, because I don't know when this podcast is going to come out. I still want to, you know, let's got to have a moment of silence for Paris, because Paris, it's killing me right now. Like, just what's going on over there, it is really, it's sad. It makes you feel lost a little bit, you know, just thinking about what's going on over there. So I just feel bad about that.
Definitely. Let's, you know, just, if we want to reflect on that, it's just, I was talking to a friend today, it's weird that, like, things that happen in action movies are becoming, like, more things of real life.
Like terrorists and stuff like that?
Terrorists, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, terrorism's always been a thing, but it just seems like a blatant, like, we were talking about how ISIS doesn't really have any motive other than causing havoc, whereas everything else is had a motive. Our hearts go out to the people in Paris, and my heart goes out to, you know, there were so many people there that were, you know, some people were just studying abroad. Some people were just going to go see a concert.
Yeah.
And, you know, my prayers and thoughts are with those individuals and their families. And I just really hope something gets done about that.
Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Me too.
Man, I don't even know if I can go. That was such a serious note.
I know. It was so deep.
I was segueing you to segue myself. So, like, to talk about, I'm doing it anyway. I don't even care.
Do it. We did our moment of silence. Now we can move on to the good stuff.
I just wanted to bring light to, I always like to talk about one of my favorite TV shows going on, or things I think people should check out. And I think people, fans of the podcast, are really going to enjoy Ash versus the Evil Dead.
What?
Yeah. If you're a fan of the Evil Dead movies, if you're a fan of B-horror movies, this is something you absolutely must check out.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm 3 episodes in right now. The 3rd episode just aired. This show is everything you expected to be, everything you wanted to be. Sam Raimi wrote and directed the first 2 episodes. Orangish blood, that's just like way too much.
Is it live action or is it
live action?
Okay.
You gotta check the show out. You gotta watch the show if you're a fan of the Evil Dead. Yeah, that's all I really have to say.
Okay.
I mean, you can definitely tweet me about it. Tweet me about anything. At Too Many Cheetos on Twitter. Nice. Still haven't gotten too many things about Spice Wars. We do want to see that soon. But
yeah, we need some more Spice Wars up there.
Yeah, I'm your friend, and I want to be your friend. So just hit me on a DM, at me, whatever. We'll talk about whatever. We'll talk about what cat should die in Grumpy Cat, or we'll talk about Evil Dead.
Nice. Don't forget our Facebook, too, Capes and Scowls Podcast. So just do a quick search, and you'll find us.
Where are you? We're always there for you.
Always there for you.
Lead us out.
All right, everyone. We'll catch you later.